الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Alhamdulillah, it's a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're able to gather together in order to spend some time in the remembrance of Allah. And last week I spoke about one of the important features of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is that it expands our horizons. Unfortunately, the reality of the life of this world is that it tends to make us hyper-focused on that which is directly occurring with us. And while that is important, and that has its place within the grand scheme of things, the reality is that we are much more than ourselves. In fact, we exist in a time and space continuum, which essentially, if we were to appreciate, would help us to recognize our own true reality. Last week, I spoke about that space reality, meaning on this time-space continuum, I spoke about that space reality for us, in order for us to recognize that we are not even drops, we are not even a drop of water in an ocean, because the reality is that this universe is ever expanding, and this universe is far beyond what we have the ability to comprehend. I gave the example of the fact that Earth, we live on Earth, and on Earth we probably occupy, 10-15% of which is land, the rest is water. So here we are living on Earth, we live on, 10-15% of Earth, and Earth compared to the sun, you can put, thousands or hundreds or thousands of Earths into a sun, and the sun itself is only one solar system is a star in one solar system, and there are billions and billions of stars. And when you start adding up all the layers, what you begin to recognize is that in our own universe, we are essentially nothing. Literally, we are nothing. We are not even a drop of water. If you put your finger in an ocean and you pull out whatever you gain, that actually is finite. You can define how much water you pull out. We are just nothing. And the entire universe only represents, as I mentioned, the first heavens. And we know that there's seven heavens. And we also know that each heaven, the lower one, doesn't even represent a ring in a desert of the larger one. So for example, if you were to take a ring and throw it in the desert, you wouldn't even be able to find that ring, let alone perceive that ring. And that's the example of the first heaven in the context of the second heaven, meaning the first heaven is just like a little ring in the desert of the second heaven. And the second heaven is a little ring in the desert of the third heaven. And the third heaven is a little ring in the metaphorical desert of the fourth heaven. And all of our universe only represents the first heaven. We haven't even gotten beyond that. When you talk about the entire universe and the vastness and all of this, everything that scientists are discovering, that only represents just the first heaven. So subhanAllah, when you just think that whole first heaven is one little ring in the context of the second heaven, which is a little ring in the context of the third heaven, etc., 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 until you get to the seventh heaven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Qursi, as we talked about last week, that spans the entire seven, more than the seven heavens. SubhanAllah, it just begins to show you where we are on the space continuum, like where we where we exist on the map, which essentially we wouldn't even be able to find ourselves, honestly. So subhanAllah, that's the space continuum. Now, that same reality exists on the time continuum. And I think I've shared this with all of, you know, with the gathering previously, but you could also have the same discussion on the time continuum. Like, here we are, we exist for, I don't know, what do you want to say? We exist for 50, 70, 80, make it 100, okay? Make it 100 years, just to give, you know, a round even number. And if you think about the age of the planet, you're talking about billions of years. So take, you know, take 100 and divide it by a billion, you won't even be able to find the answer. It's going to be so close to zero. So we essentially are almost zero in the context of time. So we're almost zero in the context of space. We're almost zero in the context of time. It's very important for us to recognize who we are, because we're dealing with the opportunity to be able to worship the Lord who exceeds the bounds of space and time, to whom the bounds of space and time don't even apply. Allah is the beginning and Allah is the end, and He is everything in all places and all in everywhere, and He controls everything from the beginning of time till the end of time, and He controls every single vector and dimension at every single point in time. So subhanAllah, it really begins to show you that we are servants. And honestly, actually, let me take a step back. You know, when we say we are servants, that is the greatest blessing that concerns us. The greatest blessing is that we are servants, because we were utterly worthless in the context of space. We were utterly worthless in the context of time. It was as if we didn't even exist. But what makes us special and what allows us to be able to have purpose is the fact that we can call ourselves the servants of the one who created all of that space, the one who created all of that time, the one who controls every single thing in all of that space across all of that time. So this is just an enormous blessing that we have the ability to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this way. It really, really, you know, we're so caught up in the circumstances that surround us that we forget what an honor it is that Allah even appreciates what we do and gives us the opportunity to be able to worship Him and grants us the tawfiq to be able to earn His pleasure. This is the greatest blessing that can befall us, and this is exactly what it means to be a Muslim. Now tell me, why would we want to try to make ourselves something other than we are? I mean, simple mathematics tells us that in the continuum of time and space, we're nothing. Let's just say that somebody, na'udhu billah, didn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just mathematically, it just paralyzes you to think that, well, okay, in the context of space, of all of this vast universe, I'm just a speck, if anything, if even that. In the context of time, I'm just a speck, if even that. And so, what is my purpose? What am I trying to do? How can I even consider myself to be anything? There is no, in the just time and space wise, there is no purpose. And this is something that Muslims are forever blessed with, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them purpose and guided them to something that is actually meaningful. Because what Islam allows us to do is it allows us to escape that mundane existence which we had, and instead to make ourselves valuable. How? By attaching ourselves to the one who created all of that space, and by attaching ourselves to the one who created all of that time, by attaching ourselves to this being, to this, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we attain relevance and we attain permanence. And, you know, this is maybe the biggest proof of this is when we think about what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. And ultimately, when we get to Jannah, now think about this. In Jannah, there's a few things that are going to happen. Number one, we're going to have amazing space. You know, you can't even begin to fathom what Jannah is like in a world in which the first heaven, it takes up, the universe fills the entire first heaven, and that first heaven is minuscule compared to the next heaven. Can you begin to imagine what Jannah will be like? In fact, we know from hadith that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the last person, one of the last people to rise from Jahannam and then to eventually get a place in Jannah, will be someone who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will be told to go take their place in Jannah. And when they go try to find their place in Jannah, they won't be able to find a place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say to them, do you remember the earth from which you came? Do you remember the life from which you came? And the person will recall that, of course, they'll remember the earth, the life from which they came. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them that for them is 10 times the earth or the world from which they came. Meaning, otherwise stated, one of the very last people to be rewarded with Jannah will receive 10 times the earth that they could remember as far as their space is concerned. So can you just begin to imagine what Jannah is like? It's not even comprehensible. But why? What is it about Jannah that makes it that way? The fact that it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his servants. That is what makes Jannah that way. Now that's the space continuum. So space is going to become much different. I mean, the concept of space that we have in this world is completely skewed until a person gets into Jannah. And same with time. You know, we have this continuum of time that exists for us right now, which is this 50, 60, 80 year life, 100 year life. But what happens when a person gets to Jannah? خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They'll be there forever. That whole concept of time will be erased. Now, subhanAllah, look what's going to happen. By attaching ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a person attaches themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they, instead of becoming servants of time and space, which time and space will erase a person, because in the context of time, we don't exist. In the context of space, we don't exist. If we pursue time, we pursue space, we pursue the dunya, it will erase us. It will literally erase us. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Just think about it that way. By the passing of time, man or humans are at a state of loss. Are in a state of loss. You cannot win against time. You cannot win against the dimension of time created in this life. You cannot win against the dimension of space created in this life. What makes a person valuable and what gives a person value is when they connect to the being who's created all of that space. When they connect to the being who's created all of that time. And that is the opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts before us. By doing a few simple things, we get an opportunity to connect with the Lord of the entire universe. Not the mayor of a city, not the governor of a state, not the president of a country, not the head of the entire UN, the creator of the entire dimension of time and space that we've discussed previously. We have an opportunity to engage and interact with that creator, to be his servant. What greater honor could there be? Why would a person ever want to be a servant of dunya when dunya essentially erases them? Dunya is not concerned with them. It is not permanent. It is not lasting. There's nothing that a person can take from it. It creates stress on a person. Instead, we have the opportunity to be servants of Allah. And the beauty is that by becoming servants of Allah, time and space are meaningless to Allah. So in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows us infinite space and infinite time in the hereafter, subhanAllah. But then, what is the greatest gift that's going to occur in Jannah? What is the ultimate reward that arises in Jannah? It's going to be the fact that a person can witness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever way he deems appropriate. So we know that after all the rewards of Jannah are made manifest, the infinite time and the infinite space and the infinite rewards and the every desire to be fulfilled, then it'll be asked, is there anything that you could wish for? Is there any more space you could wish for? Is there any more time you could wish for? Is there any more desire? Is there anything else you could ever desire? And people will be scratching their heads wondering what else is possible. They won't even be able to think about another possibility, subhanAllah. They will be so contented and everything will be so perfect And then what will happen is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will manifest himself in whatever way is appropriate, so that people will be able to see him in whatever way is appropriate. And when people see him, they will forget about every other reward that will bestow that was bestowed upon them. The whole notion of time will disappear. The whole notion of space will disappear. The whole notion of the infinite reward that Allah is providing will disappear. They will be so awestruck by that engagement of the Lord of time, the Lord of space, and for that matter, the Lord of Jannah. Subhanallah. So this is the opportunity. This is the opportunity that our deen affords us. It gives us a few very easy, simple things that we can do in order to become servants of Allah, to free ourselves from the shackle of this life, and to instead engage with the Creator of this life and the next. Subhanallah. And what are these few things? I mean, they're so simple. You know, we have this 24-hour day. We have to take 5 minutes on occasion here and there just to bow down and engage with this Lord who has created this opportunity for us. It's an honor and a pleasure. And in fact, it's one of the highlights of the day. And for a person who actually takes the time to perform it properly, it's one of the best parts of the day. It's better than the food that we eat. It's better than the people that we meet. It's more real than anything we can engage in. So it's not even like a hardship. It's not like you have to stand on one foot for an hour, you know, and undergo this severe pain. There's no pain associated with the prayer. It's complete joy. It's complete joy. The words are beautiful. The actions are beautiful. The feelings associated with it are beautiful. The rewards are beautiful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks so little from us. So little. Few prayers in a day. One journey to Hajj. We make so many journeys all throughout our life. One simple journey to Hajj once in the lifetime. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, He asks that we take from what He gives from us and give a little bit of zakah. It's not like we even earn it. I mean, yes, we make an effort to earn it, but it was bestowed by Allah. He gave us the ability. He gave us the mind. He gave us the opportunity. And then He gives us the wealth. And then He doesn't say you have to give 2.5% of the wealth. He says, use whatever you need. Whatever's for your house, whatever's for your food, whatever's for your clothing, whatever's for your expenditures, none of that's going to get counted. Just if you have extra. If you have extra, take a small percentage, 2.5% of that, and give it to the poor, to those who are in need. And who benefits from that? The person who gives benefits, because the feeling associated with giving is always better than the feeling associated with consuming or taking. The internal spirituality and the warmth in the heart that arises from giving is always better than that arises from fulfilling one's desires or from taking from others. So subhanAllah, and then on top of that, everything we give is actually preserved for us and will be further returned to us in the hereafter and on the Day of Judgment. So we can't even begin to imagine what reward Allah has created for us and at what a tiny cost. What a tiny cost. You know, if I said to you, you could have the whole world for a penny. Think about this for a second. If I said to you, you could have the whole world for a penny, you would say to me, wow, that's a tiny price to pay for the entire world. Well, I'm telling you something even better. For less than a penny, you can have the creator of the entire universe by just turning our attention to him. And the rewards associated with that are his kingdom and his bounty and his majesty and his treasure. So it's cheaper than a penny, and the reward is infinitely greater. The reward is infinitely greater. All we need to do is submit to our Lord and offer a few basic acts of worship and avoid, you know, these things which everybody agrees are just not good. Backbiting, stealing, lying, cheating, etc. You know, there's a handful of things. They're very, very straightforward. They're not very demanding on a person. They are things that if a person does, it makes them miserable anyway. So they're for our own good. They're not really a test. You know, a real test is when you ask someone to take away something that's actually beneficial for them and super good for them. You know what the test would be? If Allah said you can't pray, that would be the test. That would be the test, because that's actually the best thing we can do for ourselves in this world. And what's the test? The test is to avoid those things which are bad for us anyway, which don't provide contentment for us anyway, don't have any good in them for us anyway. Everybody would agree, even the people who don't necessarily follow a deen would all agree. Backbiting, murder, lying, cheating, etc., etc., all of these things are bad. So this deen has been made very easy. Essentially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just trying to make an excuse. Allah created the circumstances, made everything super easy, and all we really have to do is we kind of just have to write our name on top of the paper. You know, imagine there's a test, and the teacher says, the test, I'm handing out the test to everybody, and the funny thing about this test is that the entire test is already done for you. The only thing you have to do is write your name at the top, and if you write your name at the top and turn it in, I'll grade it. So what would you say about that test? Everyone in the room would say, what an easy test. Wow, this is a joke. I could take this test 10 times a day. I mean, people would walk out smiling and laughing and so happy. That's the life of this world. Allah gives us wealth and says, put your name on a little bit of this and put it back give it back to the poor. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. Allah created the wealth, He created our abilities, He created our opportunities, He granted us all of the faculties that we have, and then He gives us the blessing of this wealth, and then He says, okay, I gave you this much, just take a tiny bit of it, put your name on it with an intention, we call that an intention, and hand it back to the people who are in need, which is just going to make you feel good, and it's going to give you a bigger reward in the hereafter, and that's called Islam. SubhanAllah, that's called Islam. Take this life that I gave you already. I'm the one giving you the life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's giving the life. And take a tiny piece of it, 5 minutes a day. Put your name there on the test and just say, you know, Hussein prayed, and offer this prayer for 5 minutes in a day. 5 minutes, five times a day. SubhanAllah, what kind of bargain this is? Prayer, Hajj, Zakah, fasting in Ramadan, all these things are good for us. And they're minimal compared to the life that we live in this world. And they're absolutely minimal compared to the ultimate reward in the hereafter. So we need to awaken ourselves to this reality. We need to get out of the me and I syndrome. And instead, we need to appreciate the opportunity present before us. The regret on the Day of Judgment will not be that, oh, I didn't fight with that person and get my right. I didn't tell that person when they did this wrong thing to me. I should have stood up and I should have hit that person for crossing that line. That's not going to be the regret on the Day of Judgment. No one's going to stand on the Day of Judgment and say, I wish I would have told this person off. I didn't have a chance. Now I'm in the Akhirah. I can't get there and give him my 2 cents. No one's going to have that regret. The regret will be, Ya Allah, I should have said just one more SubhanAllah. Look at what SubhanAllah did for me on this day. Look at this. This guy said 7,000 SubhanAllah. This guy said 6,999 SubhanAllah. Look at the difference in reward between the two. I should have said one more SubhanAllah. It would have taken me a millisecond. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. How much time does that take? I should have just said one more SubhanAllah. It would have made all the difference in my Akhirah. That's going to be the regret on the Day of Judgment. I should have focused a little more on my prayer. I should have given more sadaqah. I should have paid my zakah. Gosh, I should have gone for Hajj. I missed that opportunity. Look at the reward these people are getting who went for Hajj. Look at this crazy. It's going to be so unfair. What? They just paid that few dollars and they just took out 2 weeks from their life and they're getting this reward? This is crazy. This is not fair. If I would have known, I would have done Hajj every single moment of my life. I would have just done a continuous Hajj from the day I was born until the day that I died. If I would have known this much reward is associated with Hajj. Well, we did know. We were blessed. We knew. The Prophet told us. And we had opportunity to join the gatherings of the people of piety in order to be reminded of the greatness of this deen. So we must put ourselves in proper perspective. We must appreciate the minimal sacrifice that Allah requires from us and the extensive and extreme reward that He offers in return. And that minimal sacrifice is only for our own good, and it brings peace and contentment in this life, and of course an ultimate reward in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala awaken ourselves to this reality. May he make us amongst the people of dhikr and the people of remembrance, and may he keep us on the sirat al-mustaqim. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We're going to continue with the dhikr. I know that most of you have been consistent with the gathering, but if there happens to be anybody new, the way this gathering works is that after the talk, we do a silent dhikr. It's held once a week. Essentially, what happens here is I recite the lines, and then you'll follow after me. It's alternating between salawat and the Prophet ﷺ. So you hear me say the word salawat, which basically means that you should recite some salawat, or, you know, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim would be just one example. And then otherwise you'll hear me recite another line, and you should just recite those to yourself silently. So this entire dhikr is all silent. So we'll go ahead and proceed now with the first line. All the lines are on the screen if you happen to be with us online. Salawat